Blog Talk Radio. Hi, this is Marnie Svedberg, and I welcome you to Marnie and Friends, a place where leaders share practical, helpful, and encouraging ways to get anything important done faster, better, and smarter. Right now, I encourage you to sit back, buckle up, and join us for fun, laughter, practical help, and clear thinking, the kind of discussion that focuses our attention off of the fluff and onto the most important stuff in life. Again, welcome to Marnie's Friends. Let's get going. Hi, everybody. This is Marnie, and I welcome you back to another edition of Marnie's Friends. We are, as you know probably, or maybe you don't know, we always do these remote. We aren't in a studio when we do this. We always call in, and so it's very different from time to time, depending on where we are when we're broadcasting. We're trying a new system today. Hopefully, you can hear me all right, and we'll listen back in afterwards and see if this worked out equally or better or worse than what we usually do. But so happy to have you along today. The topic of our conversation today is Ladies Bible Study Leadership, and our special guest is Mindy Ferguson, who's been a longtime ministry partner of ours over at womensspeakers.com. She's a speaker for women's groups, as well as she is a Bible study author, and she has she lives in Houston with her husband Mark. She's a mom to Brandon and Brianna, and she is the founder of Fruitful Ministries, Fruitful Word Ministries, and you can find her website over at fruitfulword.org. The notes for today are available at Blog Talk Radio or at leadershipattitudes.com, and we are just going to launch right into our training today on Ladies Bible Study Leadership. So welcome, Mindy.
Hi, Marnie. Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, it's good to have you, and I'm excited to address this topic now. I think it was just a few years ago your book came out, Walking with God, which was an week Bible study, and now you have a new one out called The Women in Jesus' Life, and that's a six-week Bible study. And we're kind of going to go through the training today based on the different women in Jesus' life as far as how we minister to these different women as they show up or we invite them to come to our Bible studies. Mindy, when you started this Bible study, when you started writing the actual six-week study, The Women in Jesus' Life, what was your motivation?
Well, I had been teaching a Wednesday night women's group for about 6 years when I wrote this study. And what I noticed was many of the women in the group were working women. And they came from all different situations. But many of them struggled with some of the in-depth Bible studies that we typically offered in the morning for our ladies that primarily didn't work. And so as I got to know the women, I really sensed that what they needed was encouragement, and they needed some material that they could finish. And so this is a lighter Bible study. It's still in depth. They still get into the Word, but the lessons take about 15 minutes a day, and every lesson is chock full of encouragement for women because we look at the interaction that women had with Jesus as he walked this earth. And so what I found was this was a very affirming Bible study. I wrote it for them. I wrote each week and then handed it to them when they came into class. And it was just a very special time with these ladies that I just really cared for dearly. And so I think there is a need for material like that. And so that's really what motivated me to sit down and write this study.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the woman who needs a lighter study like this. We have, of course, heavier studies like Precepts or Beth Moore, who require a lot of intense Bible study every day. And then, of course, you've got some gals who maybe that is just not going to be their cup of tea, or maybe more importantly, they simply cannot. They can't do it. They're already getting up early. The candles are burning until late at night.
Right. So, yeah, exactly. And I am passionate about in-depth Bible study, passionate about getting women into the Word. I believe that's where life change happens. But I also think that we need to have material out there that meets the needs and meets women where they are. And so Walking with God is a more in-depth study, and groups that want that in-depth material, that is my passion, and that is available. But then this just fills a different niche. And, for instance, I'm the women's ministry director at my home church, and what we do for Bible study is in the fall we do a really in-depth study, like Walking with God or one of Beth Moore's studies, Experiencing God, the more in-depth that take a little longer and a little more digging. But then in the spring we do a lighter study. And, you know, people get spring fever during the spring, and sometimes attendance isn't as good. And so a light study like this will still get them in the Word. They can come together and discuss the homework. The other thing about this study is it really emphasizes discussion. The questions lend themselves to great discussion. It's great for small groups. Which I also really believe that's where life change happens. And even in our large group Bible study, we break into small groups for discussion. So this study would be good for a small group that meets in a home, a large group Bible study that breaks into small groups but wants something a little lighter, like I said, like we do in the spring at my home church, or for that working woman who really needs something she can feel she conquered during the week and completed.
Yeah, that's good too. Well, if you're just joining us, we're talking to Mindy Ferguson. She's the author of some Bible studies, including The Women in Jesus' Life. Her new Bible study is a six-week lighter weight Bible study, but still really good. And for those of you who are looking for a lighter weight Bible study like this, I love, like in Mindy's book here that I've got in my hand, there's two questions kind of back-to-back. There's a little bit of maybe two paragraphs between, but the questions vary so much from a factual question like, how long did Mary remain with Elizabeth according to verse 56, to the next question, which is more of an interact with me question that says, what kind of discussion do you think might have taken place between Elizabeth and Mary during their 3 months together? And it's such a good balance that you've struck here, Mindy, and I know that there are so many good Bible studies out there too, but what you want to look for when you're choosing a Bible study is you want to look for something that's both going to reinforce what the truth is that's being shared in the Scriptures, as well as take it from fact into personal experience so that the participants could feel like, not only did I learn some facts today, but I understand something more deeply about it at an emotional level, and I know how to apply it to my life.
Yes, absolutely. Application is so important. We don't want to just fill our heads with knowledge and then not know how to use that knowledge. You know, we want to do the Word as well as learn the Word and know the Word. And so I just thank you so much for your affirmation on that. I just believe in stirring not only the mind but also the heart when we are in Bible study.
Absolutely. Well, let's go ahead and address our first point here, which is love them young or old. And when you are doing a Bible study, let's just talk, Mindy, you and I, about the different approaches that we can take to reach both the young gals as well as the older gals. Now, from your personal experience in leading Bible studies and working with these groups, what have you found to be most effective?
In order to, well, let's go back to the points that you've got kind of in your introduction. We want to learn how to attract, engage, and encourage all women. And first of all, if you want to attract both young and old women to your Bible study, I think you need to have a leadership team that is diverse, that is made up of both young women and old women, because we tend to hang out or want to spend time with people who look like us. And if you've got a leadership team that are all over 50, it's going to be difficult for you to draw in that 25-year-old woman with small children. She'll feel like she doesn't have any peers in that group. And so you want your leadership team to be made up of kind of a slice of your church. If your church is diverse in age, then you want your leadership team to be diverse in age. If your church is all older, then your leadership team is probably going to be made up of primarily older women. But if you want to bring in both, you need to figure out a way to get a more diversified team. I think also in order to attract women that are both young and old, which typically that means seasoned and perhaps new in their faith, you want to have a well-trained leadership team that makes them feel like they are coming and getting wisdom. There is structure and discernment and wisdom used among the team. It's a safe place for them to grow regardless what level they're on. You want to select good material that is sound in doctrine and kind of like we were talking about, stirs the heart as well as the mind. There are some that really connect with material that stimulates their mind. They really want to learn and grow. And then there's others that, you know, this is old hat. They know they've been in Bible study for years. They want something that stirs their heart. So if you can find something that does both, you will reach a broader group of women.
Well, one of the things that we've talked about before on this training program is that you can do it in so many different ways, too. You can either have all of your women come together for an opening exercises, a type of a situation, maybe some worship music, maybe not, whatever you choose, and then divide into age-segmented groups so that the different challenges that are happening in their lives, they've got this smaller group that can really relate and talk to them right there. Or you can have the whole group together for the entire Bible study, and during the prayer time, you can divide into these age-segregated groups. So those are a couple other concepts that you can use to attract and retain women of all different age groups. And there is something truly beautiful, isn't there, Mindy, about having the different age groups together? There's something so, so valuable in that.
Absolutely, and you can do like you're talking about, break down by ages, but you also can establish small groups that encompass both and have your discussion time with a group that is diverse, and same thing with your prayer time. I love the idea of being in a large group together but then breaking into smaller groups, whether that is by age or just a diverse group. You know, I think of the Titus 2:3 principle where it talks about the older women training up the younger women. And when you get that diverse small group with good, solid leaders that are trained, then that can happen in there. You'll draw from the wisdom of the older women, and then you have the energy that comes from having those younger women. And those young women who feel like they're going to have toddlers hanging on their leg for the next 15 years or for the rest of their life, and then life is going to be this way forever, they can gain wisdom from those whose children are grown. You know, enjoy this time and be encouraged and affirmed that this is a short period of time. And there's just so many dynamics that can happen when you split up the ages and sprinkle that around within your groups.
Absolutely. Well, this is Marnie. We're visiting today with Mindy Ferguson, the author of a new Bible study book called The Women in Jesus' Lives. We'll be right back.
Is it ever your turn to come up with fresh ideas for parties, events, or retreats? Check out the fully developed theme sets at ideasforwomensministry.com. That's ideasforwomensministry.com. Ideas, publicity templates, and more. Ideasforwomensministry.com.
Welcome back. This is Marnie Swedberg. Welcome to another edition of Marnie's Friends. Today we're visiting with Mindy Ferguson. She is the founder of Fruitful Word Ministries, and she's the author of a new Bible study called The Women in Jesus' Life. We're talking today about working with women in a Bible study setting, and we're going to talk next about loving them clean or loving them dirty. And I think when we were thinking about this, we were thinking about the different types of women that come into our churches, into our Bible studies, and how in Jesus' life, he just loved all women. He didn't distinguish between whether you were raised in a Christian family or, you know, whether you were real comfortable in a church or whether, in fact, you maybe had never even thought of the concept before. and you found yourself in a situation with Jesus, he just loves you from whichever place you were coming.
Yeah, absolutely. I think of there's a few women that come to mind that we look at in the women in Jesus' life. There's the Samaritan woman. I mean, here was a woman who was an outcast in her society. She was living with a man who wasn't her husband, and yet Jesus spoke to her. He treated her with dignity, and as a result, she was changed. And when she went back into the town, people noticed the difference. And when she shared her encounter with Christ, other people in the town then also were drawn to him. And, you know, I think of Mary Magdalene. She had seven demons, we're told in Scripture. And, you know, Jesus cast those out. And Mary Magdalene then was a key figure in his life. And then you've got, you know, the adulterous woman, who that woman that's caught in adultery. And Jesus is kind and compassionate. He tells her to go and sin no more. I mean, he doesn't make it seem like what she has done is okay, but he lovingly treats her with respect and looks at those that were ready to stone her and just says, he who is without sin, you know, cast the first stone. And so we just see his compassion over and over again for women that are clean or not so clean. And, you know, in the church, we need to do the same thing. I think of James 2, 1 through 4, where it talks about, you know, if you show special attention to the person wearing fine clothes and give them a great seat, but then you've got that poor person or the poorly dressed person standing there, and you just say, you know, sit here on the floor at my feet, it says you've discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts. And so we're to love them, whether they look all cleaned up on the outside or they don't, and whether they have been in the church their whole life or this is their first encounter and their life is a mess. We're called to love them as Jesus does.
Absolutely. And this one kind of ties in with the next one, too. The next point is love them beautiful or broken. And we can all think of these women who they come to Christ very broken, very they would maybe define themselves as defiled, that I can't believe he could love me. That's how I've heard women say it. When they recognize that Jesus really does truly love them just the way they are, they really can't believe it. They can't get over it. It's such an amazing grace that that could happen. But a lot of times when these gals come in, they feel very intimidated. Even if we aren't judging them, even if we aren't looking down on them, they feel looked down on simply because they're looking down on themselves. And it takes an extra measure of grace, an extra measure of accepting and embracing them right where they are in order for them to move past that into the zone where Jesus' love can break through really the hard shell that they have around their heart.
Yeah. And, you know, that's one reason I think that prayer is just so key before a single woman shows up at our Bible studies, really praying over the morning, because, you know, we are all busy and our lives are full. And sometimes as leaders, we can walk in with, we're still carrying all of the thoughts and the demands and the stress of the morning. And really, if we can pray and ask God to give us eyes to see as he sees and really look for those women who are standing by themselves or who seem to pull away, and really making a point to make eye contact with them. And, you know, eye contact is so affirming. And noticing when they do something well and being sure to affirm them. And, you know, I think of the most important time in the way that we respond to somebody is after they have shared a detail from their past, after they have shared something that has happened. The way we interact with them immediately following is so important, because they are being just attacked by the enemy. You know, just those thoughts of unworthiness, and I can't believe I just shared that, and now they're going to look down on me. And I think that moment or two, or the very next visit, the next time you see that person, is so key that you make that eye contact and you affirm them and you love them.
It is so important. It's so important. And physical touch, just to actually just give them a hug and let them know that even though they've shown you that part of themselves, that you still love them, that you are still willing to touch them. They don't have leprosy now all of a sudden. And what's so crazy is that God knew all about it ahead of time, and he's already dealt with his feelings about it, and he's already covered it all. Jesus' blood has covered it all in Christ. It's a little different for us because we haven't dealt with those feelings before. We hear something and we have to deal with our feelings. And so it's important for us to press into Jesus and let him help us to deal with that woman in that moment the same way that he would. And he gives us such great examples. I love your Bible study in that it's the women in Jesus' life. We have so much to learn from how Jesus dealt with these women.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I love that you're talking about hugging, because one thing that I've learned is I don't always, you know, I'm one of those people, I don't always think on my feet. And sometimes the right words just don't come in that moment, but a hug says more than words can say so often. And, you know, I just kind of thinking through the women that are in the Bible study, I think of the widow of Nain, and I don't know why this example is coming to my mind, but I knew this woman who lost her husband, and, you know, we're talking, if we think of someone who's broken, this was a woman who'd been around the church, everyone knew her, but her husband died after an illness. It was fairly sudden, and no one knew how to minister to her. No one knew how to, what to say to her, and so people began avoiding her. And I remember I just looked at her one day and I said, I don't know how to minister to you, but I am so sorry. Please help me. Because I didn't know what to say or what to do. And I just gave her a hug, and that kind of broke the ice with her. And she was able to tell me what she needed. And, you know, I think of the widow at Nain, and she had lost her son, and Jesus came upon the mourners and the funeral procession, and you know, he resurrected her son. But the greatest point that we can draw from the story is that he resurrected her hope, and I think that's what we as Bible study leaders or women in ministry want to try to do, is to help a woman resurrect her hope. And our hope has to be based in Jesus Christ and our salvation in him, and the fact that he never leaves us or forsakes us, that he will carry us through the difficult times. And so really helping women connect with Christ is what we want to do. But sometimes we just have to get past our own ignorance on how to do that. And sometimes just saying, what can I do to help you, is the right way to approach it.
So good. One thing, earlier today I was just working on, I have a new book coming out in November called Feeling Loved, Connecting with God in the Minutes You Have. And in there today I had added a quote from Hal Lindsey, and it is, man can live about 40 days without food, about 3 days without water, about 8 minutes without air, but only for 1 second without hope. And it is so true that is really such a critical factor, and it is the hope that we have in Christ that can sustain us through very traumatic and awful situations. And a lot of the women who share a story of maybe a sin that they've experienced, a sin that they've committed in the past, really what they're doing is exactly what most of us as wives do with our husbands, what we do. And I heard somebody explain this, and I thought, that is so true, and I never knew I was doing it. But what he said was, when you're not fully sure that someone's going to be careful with your emotions, and a lot of times, wives, we do feel that way because men are not as emotionally driven as the women, and so they tend to kind of trample on emotions without thinking that they're doing it. They're not trying to, but they sometimes do. And so what happens is, when someone's in that situation where they're just not quite sure how this is going to go over, what they do is they throw a sample or an example or a test out there and they see how that one goes. And if that one goes all right, their courage is built up and they share something additional. And if that one goes all right, well, then pretty soon she's able to open up about the horrible abuse that's happened in her past or whatever it is that would even drive her to behave in those ways to begin with. But what happens is when we jump on it and we insist that she corrects her behavior before we accept her, she's not able to come closer to the only person who can heal her, which is Jesus Christ. So it's so critical in those moments to recognize the bigger picture. This isn't just about her sharing this experience in her life. This is about her being vulnerable and saying, am I safe here? Am I safe with you ladies?
Absolutely. And Marty, you know, that makes me think how important it is for our small group discussion leaders, if your Bible study is structured that way, to really be equipped. And we use, at my church, we use small group discussion guidelines. And, you know, we talk about confidentiality and how that has to stay in the group. And we talk about that within the group and really providing that safe place for people to share. And I do have small group discussion guidelines available if Bible study leaders would like to see what we're using at my church. I have those on my website in the event planners section. You just click on event planners. There's a little table there, and there's two download sheets. One is the small group discussion guidelines that we came up with and use, and then the second is women's ministry leadership criteria, which I'll just offer out there. If you're going to have leaders, they need to be committed not only to your Bible study but to your church, and they need to be making their relationship with God a priority so that they can minister from the overflow of their relationship with Christ. And so those two handouts are available on the event planner section of my website, which is fruitfulword.org. But it's just so important that our small group leaders be equipped and facilitate their groups well so that it is a safe place. Because when you bring those women in there and they do bond a little bit and they begin to share real stuff, it's got to be a safe place. And that is, the tone is set by your leadership.
Absolutely. Now, one thing we're going to do is we're going to take a short break. We're going to come back, and we're going to actually deviate from the training notes just for a few minutes and talk about a couple of the strategies that Bible study leaders can do, use. But before we do, I want everybody who is next to their Facebook or Twitter or on a cell phone that you can post this out, to go ahead and post this phone number, because when we come back, we're actually in about 5 or 10 minutes here, we're going to give away a copy of The Women in Jesus' Life, Mindy's new book. And so anybody can call in, and we're just going to select a caller then within the next few minutes. The number is 646-727-2510. And again, that's 646-727-2510. So if you're listening online right now, you want to maybe win this Bible study book, you want to call in, and we'll be selecting a caller in just a few minutes. We'll be right back.
Are you a speaker ready for some new connections? Join womenspeakers.com, the largest online directory of Christian women speakers in the world, currently enjoying over 25,000 hits a day. Womenspeakers.com is a place for you to showcase your speaking availability to over 10,000 event planners. Womenspeakers.com is a first-stop preference for leaders who are planning retreats, conferences, luncheons, brunches, and teas. Join us today over at womenspeakers.com, both free and paid listings available.
Are you spending too much time at Twitter or frittering away your day at Facebook? Maybe you think you should get involved in social networking but just don't know how. Either way, my same social networking principles can help you just like they help me to be able to interact with my thousands of followers at several different sites in just 15 minutes a day. Check it out at Marnie.com. Sane social networking success in 15 minutes a day.
Welcome back. This is Marnie, and we are visiting today with Mindy Ferguson, the author of The Women in Jesus' Life, as well as other Bible study books, and the founder of Fruitful Word Ministries. Actually, the website is fruitfulword.org, so you can learn more about her. Just before break, she was talking about over there at the event planners link, you can find the Bible study guidelines as well as leadership criteria. We are going to be giving away a copy of her book, The Women in Jesus' Life, in just a few minutes. And the panel is filling up with callers here. We're just going to select a caller in just a couple minutes. So if you're listening online, you want to call in 646-727-2510 and possibly win the copy of this book here. But for those of you who are listening right now, we're going to go ahead and go through four strategies that can help Bible study leaders to be the most effective. Mindy, you sent these in earlier today because these were just really on your heart that we needed to talk about these while we had gals' attention here during this training today. And the first one is be specific. What are you talking about?
Well, be truthful in advertising is kind of what I had in mind here. You know, if we say we're going to offer a in-depth Bible study, if we really want to attract women to our Bible study group, we want to be specific about what we're offering. And what I mean is there's nothing more discouraging than thinking you're going to an in-depth Bible study and what you're really going to is a book study. And that's not what you wanted. Or vice versa, you really just wanted a light book that you can read and talk about biblical principles and grow, and you end up in an in-depth Bible study, which is far more than what you expected. And so really be specific about what you're offering and think through, be strategic about what you plan. You know, what type of Bible study are you offering? If you call it a Bible study, make sure that women really are growing in their knowledge of God's Word and digging into it for themselves. And if you really feel that a book study is more what your church needs, then advertise it that way so that women know what they're coming to. You know, we are a consumer-oriented society, and we want what we expected. And so be specific about that.
I was thinking, too, as you were talking, it's so important to say what time are you going to start, what time are you going to end, so people can make their other plans. You know, if they're trying to schedule a dentist appointment or something right afterwards, let out on time. And, you know, if you need to, put the fellowship time at the end so they're free to go or they can stay, you know. But that's so important.
Exactly.
Be specific. Yeah, and your second point is be sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, be careful when you select material. You know, I in an ideal world, leaders would be able to do a Bible study before they offer it. I know that that doesn't happen very often, which is sometimes why we go with an author that we know. But really look for good, sound, biblical material and at least do a week or two of the study and make sure that that person is grounded. And just pick sound biblical material. You will begin to have, people will feel like it is a safe place, and you will begin to have a reputation for offering a sound biblical study, which again attracts people over time to your Bible study group. Being specific, I love including the times and really what your programming incorporates, but also being very sound and careful and cautious.
Now, over the website to write down for that one is BibleStudyExpo.com. What we did is 2 years ago, I think, Mindy, you were part of that one with your first study. But what we did on that one was we polled the women's ministry leaders that are in our network. And right now we're just getting close to 20,000 gals in our network here at Marnie.com. But the result of these polls, we invited those Bible study authors, and we did an expo. All of the recordings are over at BibleStudyExpo.com. Those are all book studies that are really highly recommended by women's ministry leaders who have taken groups through them. So that's a great place to start if you don't have time to actually complete the full study before you introduce it to your group. Okay, the third one is be strategic.
You know, sometimes we get into a rut, and I think if we can be strategic, you know, if we say, like we were talking about, we want to attract both young and old women, we need to be strategic about what we offer. For instance, child care. This past fall, we decided, well, spring, I guess it was, we decided to add a homeschool study hall to our child care program, and that way we could attract some homeschool moms to the program. And we just offered a room and someone to be with the children and answer questions or just be there to kind of monitor. And the women could let their children get their homework together or their work for the day and bring it and work on that while they're at Bible study. And so they're not missing school time, but they're able to come to the Bible study. So it was just thinking out of the box and being strategic and trying to reach women in our community that we had not previously reached. We also incorporated Gymboree into our preschool program, and it really wasn't that expensive. We do it every other week, and Gymboree is a music and movement program, and so they get a biblical lesson, yes, but every other week they also get a time with instruments and gymnastics type of equipment that's age appropriate. We offer it for two-year-olds through five-year-olds. So that is something unique and different. And again, it helps draw women with small children into the program for an evening Bible study. You know, again, if you want to reach women who, and this kind of goes into your last point, Marnie, but the single, married, or divorced, if you want single moms to come to your Bible study, you need to offer those in the evening because most of them work, and you need to offer it at a time, if at all possible, when there is a program going on for children of every age, because we think of the preschoolers, but if you have a teenager at home and you are a single mom, you don't want to be gone every week and leave your teenager at home if you make your Bible study coincide with your youth group time. Then everybody in the family can come up and do church on the same night, and those moms can come with a free mind to study God's Word and not be concerned about what's going on at home with their older children. So just being strategic about the programs that you offer, that you wrap around your Bible study, really makes a difference if you're trying to attract women from all different backgrounds.
Absolutely. Now, we have one more point. Before we share it, I just want to give people one more chance to call in if you haven't already called in. We're going to give away a copy of the book, The Women in Jesus' Life, right now. As soon as we're done with this last point here in this subset, the number is 646-727-2510, 646-727-2510. The last point, Mindy, is be set.
And basically what I meant by that was an S, so it fit with the rest of the outline, have a diverse, well-trained leadership team and have your program in place and honor people's time and, you know, kind of some of the things that you were talking about, and make it clear that you take this seriously and that their time is valuable. And like I say, you can train during the summer. Summer is a great time to really get your leadership team trained for fall and spring Bible study. You know, incorporate, if you're going to put worship and small group time and large group time, let them know that and have those things set and ready, and there's a specific time for them. And when it's time to move to small group, you're moving to small group. And when it's time to move from small group to worship, you're doing it. So that you communicate that it's important, you've got well-trained people, this is a safe place, we take this seriously, we take your time seriously, and we are serious about our relationship with God.
Absolutely. Well, that's great. Okay, so those were, just to recap, be specific, be sound, be strategic, and be set. And right now we are going to go ahead and select a caller who is going to receive a free copy of The Women in Jesus' Life, a Bible study book, a six-week Bible study book by our guest today, Mindy Ferguson. And so we'll go ahead and we're going to unmute a caller here. This caller is from area code 847, and the end of the phone number is the digit 3. Hi, can you hear me? I'm hearing something there. Area code 847, and the last digit in your phone number is 3.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Annette.
Well, hi, Annette. This is Marnie, and Mindy's here too.
Hi, Annette.
Hi, Mindy. Hi. Thank you so much for your information.
Good. Where are you calling from, Annette?
I'm calling from right outside of Chicago, Illinois.
Okay, and do you work with a women's ministry group?
I attend a prayer group at our church, and I do some speaking and some women's ministry of myself, yes.
Okay, very good. Well, you have won a copy of Mindy's book, The Women in Jesus' Life. And what we need you to do now is if you want to just send an email with the phone number that that you called in on here today, send that over to my email address at info@marnie.com. And in that email, if you would put your name and address, and then we will get that book out to you. And that's compliments of Mindy. So.
Oh, thank you, Mindy. I'm really excited to get it.
Well, that's great. I just pray that God blesses your time in His Word, Annette, and glad to have you. Thrilled that you got it.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm sure that it's very timely.
Good. Okay, very good. Well, thanks, and congratulations to Annette. And we are going to take a short break and come right back. We're going to talk about the next segment on the training notes, Loving Single, Married, Divorced, or Widowed, how to address and include and incorporate and make them feel loved and welcomed, these people who come in from a different background than possibly the mainstream. And it's real interesting that sometimes now all of a sudden you've got this is one of these categories is the mainstream. This is what you mostly are working with. So we're going to talk about that in just a moment.
Are you spending too much time at Twitter or frittering away your day at Facebook? Maybe you think you should get involved in social networking but just don't know how. Either way, my same social networking principles can help you just like they helped me to be able to interact with my thousands of followers at several different sites in just 15 minutes a day. Check it out at Marnie.com. Sane social networking success in 15 minutes a day.
A leader, an author or speaker, a mom or Sunday school teacher, Leadership Club is my way of providing encouragement, practical help, and solid God focus to as many people as I possibly can. Together we are learning how to be all that Christ created us to be, in and through His power and presence in our lives. I encourage you to join us at Marnie.com. Have a great day.
Well, hi, welcome back. This is Marnie Sedgwick. We are visiting today with Mindy Ferguson. She is the founder of Fruitful Word Ministries. Her website is fruitfulword.org, and she's the author of The Women in Jesus' Life. We just gave away a copy of that book to a caller, Annette, from just outside of Chicago. Congratulations to you. And we're going to go ahead and proceed now with the next section, which is Love Them, Single, Married, Divorced, or Widowed. And, of course, I can just there are different seasons in life where you're just in a different stage, and that is who you're all the way surrounded with. Maybe when you're single, for instance, I remember when I was single, I was involved in a single ministry, and that's we just hung out with singles, and that's the only people. So we'd go to Bible study, and the only people in the Bible study were singles. But there comes this time where you've got maybe some diverse groups going on. You maybe have a lady who last week was married, and this week she's widowed, or this week she's divorced. You have all of this going on at once. And how in the world, Mindy, as Bible study leaders, do we include these people, make them feel welcome?
Well, again, I think that we need to be strategic, specifically regarding the approach that we take to our discussion points. If we want single women and divorced women to feel welcome in a group where maybe your church is primarily made up of couples, I think that's true in a lot of churches, you need to be careful when you approach your discussion points. I mean, nothing's worse than having two or three single women in your group, and every point that comes up, people talk about how that relates to their relationship with their husband. It begins to just be like a neon sign to that single person, I don't fit in here. So we really want to try to gear the discussion towards something that's more relatable, general relationships between people, or just being very conscious. And again, I think prayer plays such a big role in being prepared for when that situation comes up. But we need to really make sure, you know, that we don't go off on a discourse of how to apply this to your marriage, you know, for every third point that comes up in our discussion. Just really being conscious of the fact that we want to be more general and make it that environment that is welcoming and applicable, and they do feel a vital part of the group.
My son, when he was a small baby, he would have nervous reactions whenever there was tension in the air. And so he could sense as a very small baby, before 6 months old, probably even before 6 weeks old, he would, if I would carry him into a room, into an environment where there was tension in the air, he would start to squirm, and pretty soon he would start to holler because his stomach would literally knot up and he could feel that tension in the air. And I remember one time being in a Sunday school class, and it was a full room of ladies in a circle, and we were talking about a topic kind of similar to how some of these topics about especially divorce can go in a church with traditional footings. And it was actually about women working outside the home was the topic. And there was tension in the air that I wasn't feeling myself, but my baby felt. And so I would pick him up and walk him out of the room, and he would settle down. Then I would go back into the room and sit down, and we'd keep going. Pretty soon he's screaming again, so I took him out of the room. And the third time I took him out of the room, I thought, oh, it's because there's tension in there. And you know what, Mindy?
Yeah.
I didn't feel it, but a baby could feel it. You know, if you're the woman who's on the outside of the story, you're feeling it.
Absolutely. And, you know, you just really do need to avoid doing that and really try to make everyone feel welcome. And sometimes when someone's grieving, especially if something has just happened recently, I mean, if you've got a woman who's going through a divorce and she's brave enough to keep coming to Bible study even though she probably doesn't feel like it and her life is a mess, you need to minister to her, but sometimes the right place to do that is afterwards or pulling her out of the room. You know, I really like when you do small groups to have a leader and a co-leader who can both be working together. And then sometimes if you need to pull somebody aside and just really spend some time listening and ministering to them as far as where they are, letting them talk and letting them share, letting them grieve, one of you can step out and talk with her one-on-one. But just being sensitive to where people are. And, you know, I think when you provide material or you're the teacher that teaches in a large group, that is almost easier than being the small group leader, because the small group leader has no idea what is going to come up in her time leading her group. All you have to do is you really need to pray. You just need to pray and be ready and prepared as much as possible, but you never quite know what women are going to come into the room dealing with. And so that's why training your small group leaders, incorporating prayer, it's all very important, and asking God to make you sensitive, because like you said, sometimes we don't even notice that what we're saying is wounding somebody or making them feel uncomfortable. But the Holy Spirit can prompt us and make us aware.
Now, just so that there's not confusion about the suggestion you made to take a lady aside, if you were in a group setting like that and the co-leader saw that someone was struggling, what would be a reasonable way to take her aside? I mean, you wouldn't want to just say, gosh, I see you're having trouble, come out in the hall, you know, like a bad child.
Right.
You know, what are some things that you've maybe seen done that work?
Going over and sitting next to that person quietly. I mean, if that person is really struggling, most of the time the entire group is aware of it. Sometimes if they'll share that these things are going on and maybe break down a little bit, you can say, I can see that you are really struggling. I think, you know, being in the situation you're in, I would imagine that is very difficult. Maybe praying as a group for the person, just stopping your discussion and praying. And then as you're closing, say, you know what, why don't we step out for, you know, why doesn't, if you're directing the other person or if you want to step out, why don't we go out here and let's just talk for a minute and pray some more together. And it's putting the emphasis more on prayer and, you know, when you're in a discussion and they're breaking down, it also helps the rest of the group move on without it seeming like you've just don't have any compassion for what the person is going through. It really stopping. And you know, sometimes I think we're afraid to stop in the middle of a discussion and pray for someone, but sometimes that is exactly what we need to do. So that works well. Very rarely is someone being disruptive. It may be just making eye contact with them when they first walk in the room and saying, how are you doing this week? And if she starts to cry, step out in the hall before you get into the small group setting. Being sensitive, you know, sometimes people are wearing what they're feeling all over themselves, and you can read it if you're looking and praying that God would make you sensitive. And so noticing before you get into your small group discussion is probably ideal, but sometimes it just comes out. You know, there may be a passage that you read or a discussion question you begin discussing that just opens that wound. And so affirming the person in front of the group, because they've just broken down in front of the group, and praying for them, which gives it the priority that it needs. And then having someone step outside so she can continue to process whatever it was that wounded. So, you know, that would be a different situation than maybe someone who is just talking about their problems over and over and over again. And we've all been in that situation before. And, you know, sometimes the best way to handle that is to kind of redirect or ask people what their feelings are about a situation similar, or, you know, sometimes you even have to be a little bit blunt and just say, you know what, I can see that you are hurting, but we do need to finish as a group. Would you like to, you know, talk afterwards? And maybe invite them to lunch and let them have the time that they need to talk, because a lot of times when someone is sharing in a group like that, it's because they need to be heard.
Absolutely. Right, and then if a lady does excuse herself, if you can tell that she's struggling, to just give her a few moments and then follow and just ask if you can pray with her, or to just extend. Like you say, it's what's important is both for the whole group, but especially for the person who's struggling, for them to recognize that you see that they're a person. You don't just try to look beyond their struggle and keep pushing through, but that you take time to recognize that they have feelings and that they are having one of those moments right there where they're in pain or struggling with something. Well, this is Marty. We're visiting with Mindy Ferguson. We have one more break. We'll come right back and talk about love them if they are worker bees or worshipfully still, how to deal with the different personalities.
Are you registered to receive the Marnie Minute? Have you sometimes missed out on training or connection opportunities because you didn't know about them in advance? Visit Marnie.com and select free updates to receive email notifications so you will never miss a beat. That's free updates over at Marnie.com.
Welcome back to the last segment of Marnie's Friends for this week. We're talking with Mindy Ferguson, the author of The Women in Jesus' Life, a Bible study for gals. And we are talking in this last segment about loving the gals, whichever kind of personality they are, whether they're worker bees or worshipfully still. And Mindy, what were your thoughts on this?
Well, we, as leaders, I'll tell you, the people who lead the Bible say, we love those worker bees who show up and want to work and do, but we need both worker bees and that worshipful spirit. And so both bring something valuable to our Bible study groups. And you know, we can affirm that worshipfully still by having them be a part of prayer, inviting them to lead prayer, or inviting them to talk about the study and the passages. You know, typically that worshipful person has really dug in to their homework, and they're the ones who will share from an emotional standpoint. And your worker bee will typically have done all the blanks, and they will sometimes share more their answers and the knowledge piece. But if you combine the two, then the whole group has that stirring of the mind and the heart that goes on, and so that can be just a beautiful mix. And so affirming both and realizing how valuable both personalities and both types are. You know, you think of Mary and Martha, they both were needed. We need Marthas to facilitate and organize and prepare food and keep us going and being on time. And then we need those worshipful people like Mary who remind us to stop and sit at Jesus' feet and pray and nurture our relationship with the Lord. And so both are valuable. I think that's the key, is keeping in mind both are very valuable.
It's interesting how the different personality types worship God. And I've mentioned it already today, but I'm kind of submerged in this final editing for this book that's coming out in November called Feeling Loved. But the steady personality, or the phlegmatic, those people, they're very much soakers. They don't need you to clobber them over the head with stuff. What they do is they like to just soak in the presence of God. And one of the things that's interesting is the person with a steady personality, they love God. Go to church, and they love to go to Bible study, but sometimes it's really disappointing for them because they really prefer quieter communion with God and more contemplative prayer. And as we have them in our studies, it's easy for us to just plow right over these people who really prefer to connect with God in a much more gentle manner.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking it's easy for us to think that everybody worships and connects with God the same exact way we do. It's just not true.
No, it's absolutely not true. And, you know, God created us with those different personalities. And, you know, I love the energy of the sanguine and just the wonderful excitement and enthusiasm that comes out of that, and those cholerics that lead the way and enable us to stay on time and get through our study time. Those are great and needed personalities. And then you've got the melancholy who feels things deeply and is very sensitive to the emotions of the people that are in the group. And then you've got those phlegmatics who, like you say, they really, what I love is if you get them to talk, they typically have something very deep and wonderful to share. They've been soaking up all that's going on around them and thinking and processing, and many times what they come out with, we all needed to hear. So each person and personality is just wonderful when you can get that mix and everyone feels affirmed.
Absolutely. And for that person who's quieter, the best way to do that is to not right away at the beginning, but as time goes by, say, you know, in a couple minutes, I would love to hear what you're thinking about that. Then go back to what you're saying and then come back around to them, because they really don't like to be put on the spot, but they really do have very wonderful things to share. It's not that they don't have anything to say. It's that they're not going to force their way out to say it.
Absolutely. I have a friend who hands out index cards at the beginning of small group time and tells them if there is something specific that you'd really like to share from the homework this week, write it down on the index card. And then she'll call on that quiet member and ask, did you have something on your card that you wanted to share? Because typically they process by writing it first and thinking it through. So that gives them that chance to really share that deep nugget that they had during the week. And they don't feel on the spot. They're able to process it and think it and have their answer ready.
So true, so true. Well, this has been a wonderful hour. We are at the end of our time. Mindy, thank you so much both for writing the book, but also for being here today.
Oh, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and thank you for your work in putting together the notes on the training. I just think it went beautifully. I'm thrilled. It was wonderful.
Well, thank you all for being here. Thanks for joining us, and I hope you have a wonderful week. We'll meet again here next week, and if you want to hear some of the previous trainings, they're all available over at leadershipattitudes.com. You have a great day. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.